The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Trinity is found in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribes. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew 22, 34 to 46. This is our sermon text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the biggest obstacle in my family's move to California this past summer was trying to get our daughter enrolled in a San Mateo Unified High School District high school. Some of you may know the problems we had with that. The second biggest obstacle was titling and registering our two cars and getting driver's license for Carla and myself. Now, you would think that we could simply transfer our titles and licenses from Indiana. It doesn't work that way. Now, the title transfer is not very difficult, but the driver's license application process and its exams have become a lot more complicated than when I first applied for a California driver's license 42 years ago. For example, there is a 40-page online document that explains all the laws pertaining to getting a license, including proving that you are who you are and where you live. Now, those of you who have done this recently would know that the biggest challenge is the written exam. The California driver's written exam has 46 questions, and you need to answer at least 38 of them correctly in order to pass the test. You also get 3 chances to pass the exam. If you fail the exam the first time, you have to wait a week to take it again. But the real problem with the exam is this. How do you know which laws are important and that you have to memorize? I don't know if you've seen the California Driver's Manual recently, but there are a lot of laws in there, and many of them are not common sense, and some of them don't make sense at all. But you have to memorize them. Good luck. Most of you don't have to study law very often. That's why you pay lawyers to do it for you. It is a good thing, too, because law codes are voluminous and horribly complex. Things have not changed much in 2,000 years, because that's exactly what's going on in our gospel lesson today. It was an encounter between Jesus and his favorite nemesis, the Pharisees. It was not a friendly encounter because the Pharisees intended to demonstrate their superior knowledge of the law and thereby their religious superiority to Jesus. These Pharisees really were experts in the law. They prayed by the law, they ate by the law, they walked by the law. They dressed by the law, bathed by the law, built their houses by the law, held meetings by the law, and probably even dreamed about their law in their sleep. You could say in modern terms that they were obsessive compulsive in matters of law. This is what distinguished the Pharisees from everybody else in the Jewish culture. They not only obeyed the law scrupulously, they also debated about it continuously and acrimoniously. In our gospel, it says that one of the lawyers of the Pharisees asked Jesus this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Now, the first question is, which system of law was he referring to? The basic system of law of the Jews was the same one that we have in the Old Testament, contained in the latter 4 books of Moses. These books are Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those 4 books cover every aspect of Hebrew life and law. They include the laws of priests, the laws of sacrifice and worship, the laws of families, the laws of the state, the laws of business and finance, the laws of war, and the most famous of all, the 10 Commandments, which we still refer to today. The civil laws of Moses were intended to be used by Hebrew judges who were supposed to be able to apply those laws with justice and common sense. And this law system worked just fine for about 1,000 years. But then the Jews were taken into captivity in Babylon. They were forced to live under a different civil law code and were under the jurisdiction of Babylonian judges. After the Babylonians, they were under the civil laws and judges of the Medes and Persians. And then the civil laws and judges of the Greeks. And then finally the laws and judges of the Romans. 500 years of living under foreign law systems produced a crisis among the Jewish people. The Pharisees realized that the laws of Moses did not work well under foreign rule. There were thousands of situations that the laws of Moses had not anticipated. Therefore, they began setting down new laws to cover those situations and began teaching them to their students. The Pharisees at the time of Jesus were still debating these laws, these new ones, leading Jesus to comment that they elevated these new laws above the Word of God, that is, above the law of Moses. After the destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersal of the Jews, the few remaining Pharisees realized that these new laws would be lost as the Jews scattered to the four corners of the Roman Empire and even out from there. So they wrote down the new laws in what is today called the Mishnah. They continued to develop this law in Babylon and Jerusalem, and several hundred years later, in the early medieval period, finished what is today called the Talmud. The Talmud is a commentary on the thousands of new laws that you find in the Mishnah. Along with the law of Moses, the Talmud is the official teaching of conservative Jewish rabbis and synagogues today. So, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment of the law, they had in mind both the laws of Moses and the laws of the Mishnah. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of laws, and only they had mastered them completely. The sheer number of these laws helps us understand the weight of their question and really the brilliance of Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer came from Deuteronomy 6, especially verses 4 to 6. Quote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Those words are as fresh and relevant today as they were when God spoke them to Moses on Sinai 3,500 years ago, and when Jesus repeated them in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. We might say that the Pharisees could not see the forest for the trees. It is easy for us Christians to criticize them because Jesus made it so simple for us. The word or phrase, loving God, is simple. It's simple to understand. And it's also immensely difficult to practice consistently and completely, as he says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Well, you would have to be a fanatic to do that. And that's why many Christians skip the first greatest commandment and they go right on to the second greatest one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Call it the golden rule or the ethical imperative. It is still the same thing. It is the basis of modern notions of social justice, the basis of all sorts of Christian charity, and the basis of the fourth through the tenth commandment. And these things are all, no doubt, very good and important. But they are not the greatest commandment. That's the question. Who loves God with all their heart and soul and might? Who puts God's first in everything? Who even thinks about doing that? You know, I think that the medieval monks and nuns tried to do this. That was the origin of their lifestyle. But they often lost the love of God in their pursuit of personal perfection. Now, it's easy to point fingers at the Jews and the Pharisees, but we Christians have also missed the boat. And it is easy to see why. The greatest commandment is just too difficult. It is the greatest because whoever can master that law has mastered the entire law. Only Jesus mastered the greatest commandment. Only he can, therefore, claim to have perfect and complete love for God. The rest of us can only claim to have an imperfect and impartial love of God, because we often put other things above him. We can only partially obey the greatest commandment because our sinful self keeps intruding, even in the most disciplined and committed Christians. In the matter of loving God, we are poor, miserable sinners, as Martin Luther said. Do I love God with all my heart, soul, and might? That is a question that applies to every decision and every act in your life. And when you fail to love God in that way, which you will, you need to remember that he still loves you, and he always will. In Jesus' name, amen.